Take your Bibles, turn to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. God has been dealing with me for quite some time now. During my private devotions and reading of the scripture, I'm not reading as much, but I'm reading more thoughtfully in the scripture. Instead of trying to get 10 chapters in and pressing it, or 15, I'm taking about 5 and reading word for word and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to me out of the word and to give me some meaningful things every day out of scripture. But I have found that in the last however long I've been doing this, a year or so, when I read the scripture, you know, especially the Old Testament, it seems really abstract up here, doesn't it? Israel and all those old countries and all those old people and everything. But now God has given me the mentality in scripture that when I read, especially like here in the minor prophets and things and so on, that just seems so, you know, to me in the past. Now, maybe you're smarter than me, but that I read it because it was to be read. And now the way I read scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, no matter what it's about, I place myself in that position. If it's a country, I place America in it. If it's dealing with Israel as a nation, I put the church in it. And I ask God, let me know today what's in here for me that I can grasp and grow and become more like Christ in my daily life. And I'm telling you, it's revitalized my Christian life from just a do situation to an absolute enjoy. You remember back when you got saved? One thing that always sticks out in my mind, right after I got saved, I started going on visitation on Monday night with my pastor. And we went out one Monday night, and I don't know how many places we went. Nobody was home, not a one. We didn't get to talk to anybody. We went back to the church, turned the cards in, and here I was. I got saved in November. I moved back to Indiana in April. So it was between November and April, down in Chesapeake and Virginia Beach, Virginia. But I started driving home, and I thought to myself, I've got to talk to somebody. And Lord, next house I pass got lights on. I'm going up and stop. And I did, and it was just a few blocks from church. And I went up and knocked on the door and told them who I was from Good News Baptist Church just down the street. And I told them I'd just gotten saved, and I really didn't know beans about it, what I was doing, but I had to talk to somebody. There was just that something in here that says, this is real. Amen. But we lose it. And it doesn't take very long to lose it. And boy, it's hard to get back. Well, I'm back. And I'm telling you, I'm enjoying every minute of it. And I hope that I can be a challenge to you today. I want to talk to you on this subject, Christian living and unholy worship. Unholy worship and unholy living. Again, Israel, I compared to the church. Anything individually in here, I apply it to myself. And I hope that you can too. In Amos chapter 5, beginning with verse 21, let me read just a few verses, and then we'll give you the comments. I despise your feast days. This is God speaking. I despise your feast days to Israel, he said, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Our Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that I can be a challenge and an inspiration to return to that day when we first got saved. Help us never to forget it, and to make our lives count for you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, historically, this is written to Israel as they come through, talking about them coming through the wilderness time, 40 years in the wilderness. This was written probably 760, 753 B.C. What it was about was judgment, a prophecy and judgment against Israel. Why was it written? To accuse and judge Israel for injustice and lack of mercy. In other words, unholy worship and unholy living. Israel was the epitome of it. And unfortunately, in the year 2020, the church age is the very epitome of what Israel was coming through the wilderness. Oh, there's a God, and we believe in God, and we think God's everything. Just don't bother me with it. Let me go on and live my life. Let me do my own thing. Let me make my own money. Let me enjoy my own enjoyments. Don't put obligations on me. Don't put pressure on me for things I don't want to do. Unholy relationship. So the problem in America right now is worship without a relationship. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that's not right with God is not saved. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people are saved, but not right with God. I think, unfortunately, in America and probably around the world, many churches preach the gospel, but they don't go beyond that. Oh, we want you to come and get saved and fill the pew and enjoy each other's company, but we're not going to put any obligation on you. We're not going to put any pressure on you. We're not going to put any guilt in your life over your sin and wrong living. Thank God for a church that will stand true to the Word of God and a pastor that says, "Thus saith the Lord." You don't know what you've got here until you start traveling around. Maybe you do. Maybe you notice what it's like in other churches and other people. There's not a real heartfelt desire for Christ. We want him because we need him. We don't want to go to hell, but we don't want his intrusion. Look at verse 4, Amos chapter 5, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel. And when you say house of Israel, let's put Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Seek ye me, and ye shall live. God's plea is to seek ye me. Seek ye me. Not things you get out in the bus ministry. Those are enticements to kids to come. But there's a far greater message to give to those kids. So the question is this. What are we seeking? What are we to seek? Well, verse 6 says, seek the Lord. Verse 8 says, seek him. So I think it's all tied up in God. Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest ye break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it. Verse 8, seek him that maketh the seven stars, and so on. So we are to seek God. Now, first of all, you need to realize Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. None of us on our own go out looking, oh God, where are you? Oh God, I need you. No, we do because Christ came to seek and to save me, that which was lost. You, that which was lost. I hope the term was applies to you. If there's anyone in here today that you cannot say, yeah, that perfectly describes me. I was lost, but now I'm saved. You can be saved today, and an invitation will be given after the morning service. The Son of Man come to seek and save. This is the heart of God. But as he seeks and finds us, we must also seek back. This is a two-way street. I come to seek and to save that which is lost. But Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first, not last resort, after everything else fails, and you're in a miserable lifestyle, and all of a sudden you awake, and if you're there, thank God you can awake and be saved. But it's far better to do it now before you get in that serious shape. Now think about this. Jesus, but seek ye first the kingdom of his God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. This is somewhat like going to the store and buying groceries. When we find Christ and we bring him home. But you put the groceries up in the cabinet and you never eat them. Don't do you much good, do they? No nourishment. No food. When you're an old man and alone like I am, my cabinets are full. I go to the grocery store and I buy these little TV dinners and canned goods and things that takes about 38 seconds to prepare and put on the table. And my house is full of them. My island in my kitchen is full. Okay, God forces himself on no one. There's not a one of us in here that can say, well, I really didn't want to get saved, but God just wouldn't let me go. Now, the conviction's there, but God will let you go your way until you say, you're the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm coming unto you. But God has a heart for everyone. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God is only a prayer away. And he's not way off in a corner somewhere, sitting on a chair thinking, boy, I hope somebody prays to me today. He's sitting right now, right beside Brother Jack, right beside the Morrises. And everyone else in here, Jesus is just a prayer away. And we need to remember that every place we go, everything we do, everything we say, everything we think, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, and Jesus Christ is walking right by our side. Now, the key to all this is sincerity. Worship without a relationship, people go through the motions. But when the sincerity gets there, not the knowledge, not the education, not the spiritual growth, but the heart condition. When the sincerity is inside, God takes care of it. John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." They weren't concerned about the miraculous God that could do things on that. But boy, when he took the bread and the fishes and began feeding all the multitude, they saw that. Said, "Man, we got a sugar daddy out here." Well, let me tell you, God is not a sugar daddy. You don't come to God and say, "Gimme, gimme, 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 gimme." But that's what a lot of people do. It's the only prayer that they ever pray to God, "Gimme." God's convicted me about this, and I stop and think about my prayers. And I ask God to give me things. And I pray for people. But every once in a while, the Holy Spirit says, "You're asking for personal things." And then all of a sudden, I back up and I say, "Lord, I love you. And you're everything and I'm nothing. I want to be what you want me to be. And I don't want to just ask him for my family, for things I need. I love being alone. I am a loner. I love my wife, Connie, and if I could right now call her back, I'd do it in a second. But I love being alone because I am never, ever, ever alone. When I sit in my chair at home, my recliner, who do I talk to? Hardly anybody ever comes by my house, but I have conversation from morning till evening with my Lord. And sometimes I ask for things. And sometimes I just thank him for things. And sometimes I just say, "Lord, what do you want to give me today? What should I have?" Colossians 3:1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Seek these things which are above. How do we know those things? What comes from above? This came from above and reveals to us what's up there. That's why I know what the future is. Some of you probably have seen my Facebook that I put on last week or so. And I've always been very critical of left-wing liberal politics and people and things that are anti-Christian. And the pastor preached a message on the gall of bitterness. And about 4 o'clock one morning, I couldn't go back to sleep. And I began thinking about that gall of bitterness. This lady that just died, Mrs. Ginsburg, just a few weeks before that, I prayed, "God, take her out of the way. Just remove her." Now, I don't know that is totally wrong. It happened in Old Testament times. Because of her philosophy and what she's caused in America. But I changed my attitude that morning. And instead of being hypercritical, two things happened. Number one, God's revealed to me again, I'm in control. None of this is happening by accident. God's letting a lot of what's going on in America happen right now to get our attention, knocking at our door. The other thing is, I don't want to have bitterness in my heart against those people. So I started a new prayer page in my prayer book. Top of the page, I could tell you who they are, and every one of them, you'd recognize their name. Not friends, not people that we'd necessarily invite over for a picnic dinner. But I'm praying for them. I'm not praying God remove them, kill them, take them out of the way. I'm praying God bless their lives. Use them in a useful manner now. And save them. Amen. Save them. Right. Except by the grace of God, that could be us on that side of the fence. Yeah, right. On the same thing. God can do what he wants to do. For all seek, Philippians 2:21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Selfishness is destruction. Let me back up a minute, Colossians 3:1. I put a little note down there and I forgot to read it. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right. Things come from God. We take the things that come from God. So like, have you ever gone down, and I've done it at Lowe's, and buy a new tool, and you come home and you open the box, and right here on top is the instruction page. And then you start on it. I've got about 10 instruction pages in my garage, still in the plastic bag that have never once been opened. And that's what we do with the Word of God. We get things from God that we ought to open and want to delve into and know every line, every word. But we leave it in the plastic bag and put it on the shelf. So worship without a relationship. Next is worship without righteousness. Verse 7 and 21. Verse 7, Amos 5. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. Verse 21 and 22. I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Verse 7, it said, turn it to wormwood. That means grievous or bitter is what wormwood is. In other words, we avoid the judgment of God. Judgment comes, and sometimes God knocks right up here. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. No, it's supper time. Now, I got to go mow the lawn. I got to go to work. God will come back another time or two. Listen to me. Listen to me. But he's not going to stand there and knock all day long just for you. If you're not interested in him, look at what it says. I hate, I despise your feast days. God can get angry, and he can get angry at you just like he got angry at some of them in the Old Testament. A lack of righteousness is mainly an attitude problem. Actions are the result of attitude. You have a bad attitude, preacher's been preaching on it, you're going to do bad things. You have the right attitude and allow God, you can be at the bottom of the barrel, spiritually speaking, but if you got the right attitude, The Holy Spirit of God will elevate you up in the barrel so that you're not down with the scum on the bottom. Now think about that. You want to live with the scum of the world and the earth and all those activities? Or do you want to be elevated into the love of Christ and become effective and useful for the things of God? A lack of righteousness is the attitude problem. Wrong attitude leads to a lack of faith and wrong deeds. But true faith leads to right actions. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. Abel was a pretty good guy, wasn't he? Now, not Greg Abel, the Bible Abel. Is Greg in here? Okay, he'll understand. Okay. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Who do you live to please? Now, husband and wives, you ought to seek to please each other, but together in the Lord and godly things. It'll make for a far better home. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Number 3, worship. Worship without a relationship, worship without righteousness will lead to worship without separation. Separation is a Bible term. It's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Thank God he separated me from my old sin. Drinking, cussing. My life could have been far worse. But I'm ashamed of even what it was. But he severed me from it. Am I perfect? Oh, far from it. Far from it. 75 years old, I got saved when I was 21. I've grown more in the last 2, 3, 4 years than I did in the first 50. And I love it. I would to God I had the heart when I was a 20-year-old, 25-year-old, 30-year-old that God's given me now. Let me challenge you. Go in and search it. Search it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me, purify me, and make me holy, and lead me in the way everlasting. So worship without separation. Amos 5 again, verse 24. Verse 24. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Verse 25. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O Israel? Oh, they went through a lot of the motions for 40 years. But what did they get them? You're dead. You're not going into the promised land. Now, I don't know exactly everything they did. We can study scripture, but I know this. They did not please God. Verse 26. But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Moloch was a false Canaanite god. Chion the name of an idol worshipped by the Israelites in the desert, it was most probably the planet Saturn, worshipped by some Eastern nations. Yeah, we want a God, but not a God that expects things out of me, that I've got to answer to. Oh yeah, that planet way up there, I'll pray to that planet, but he's not going to come down and bring condemnation in my life. He's not going to come down and bring sadness and sorrow. I'll just go on and do my own thing. Verse 27, therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Are you in captivity today to anything that would come between God and you? I think what's happening in America, to me, it's tickling me pink. How many in here watch a football game? Shame on you.
That's right.
Nah, I don't mean that. Or basketball, or baseball. Listen, I've been an avid sports fan since I was 5 or 6 years old. And I've had my favorite team. Do you know what? They absolutely turn me off now. The only thing I do, I look at the sports thing each day, who won, who lost. And I look at the teams I used to root for, and they lost. And I say, thank you, God. Just break me away from it. I've got far better things now to think about. And it's not only the sports. I wish God would do it to Hollywood. Yes. And I could name my pet peeves. But God will do it. He's in control. I don't have to do it. I can't do it, and I don't have to do it. But I can love God. Now, what is your God today? 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They were so dead that they didn't even recognize what he was pointing out to them. A false God that can't do a thing, and the real God that's totally in control. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know ye not that your bodies are members? Remember I said worship without separation? We need separation. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. You become what you like. You become what you hang around. You become who you become friends with. But he that is joined unto the harlot is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body, listen, your body right there where you're at, is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now the end question is not what's wrong with something, but things in our life we need to have a good, honest, biblical answer. What is right about it according to the Bible?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
See, there's a lot of churches that say, oh, this is okay, that's okay, blah, 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 blah. I don't care what the pastor says. I don't care what the board of deacons say. I don't care what the Constitution says. What does the Bible say? What is good about it? For you, for others, and for God. What profit is there in it for spiritual growth? Now, I'm not saying you gotta spiritualize everything that you do. Play with the kids, have activities, do things like that. But boy, in your spare time, when you're sitting there and your mind begins to wander, look on spiritual things. Who does it please? You or God? Or you and God? If you're in a right relationship, the things that please God become much more pleasing to you. These things only mean something when in a proper relationship with Christ and under control of the Holy Spirit. So then the solution to having holy worship and not unholy worship is seek heavenly things so that earthly things lose their whatever. They cannot demand your attention. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As a pastor and as a preacher up here, but I think I can speak for the pastor on this subject. We want nothing but God's best for every person that comes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to teach today. What a blessing it is. I appreciate it. And God bless in the services to come. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.